Benjamin Franklin started his working life as a printer's apprentice. He went on to become a newspaper man. He wrote articles under pseudonyms. And in the years before the Revolutionary War, he became an editor and publisher in Philadelphia. So it feels appropriate that the latest biography of Ben Franklin comes from a modern media executive. Walter Isaacson was a Time magazine correspondent who became the magazine's managing editor. He also ran CNN until recently. And Walter Isaacson joins us now from Denver, Colorado. Mr. Isaacson, welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
When in the world did you find time to write this book?
Well, writing about Ben Franklin is always easy because he's so much fun to be around. And so late in the evenings, I'd read Franklin for the past 10, 12 years. I was interested in his diplomacy first off, but then I got really interested in him as sort of this media mogul who was able to create the first vertically integrated media empire in our nation.
Vertically integrated media empire.
Well, that's sort of a modern term. But look at what Franklin did. He goes to Philadelphia, runaway, poor young guy, and he starts a newspaper. And he decides, in order to make it successful, he needs content. So he starts writing under various pseudonyms. Then he wants a publishing house. In order to make that successful, he creates Poor Richard's Almanac, which was a runaway bestseller each year in the colonies. Then he franchises his print shops and publishing houses all around the colonies, from Boston down to Barbados, using relatives and former apprentices to open shops, and he would help supply them with the content. And finally, he realizes he needs a good distribution system to get all these things done, so he helps organize and create the American postal system.
Now, I suppose if we wanted to make another comparison, you might... Oh my gosh, this is so inappropriate, but I guess you could try to compare him to Mort Zuckerman, who owns U.S. News and World Report and also writes a column in the back. In addition to being a publisher, he's actually writing things, right?
Well, I think there are a lot of people you could compare him to. He's also one of these empire builders, whether it's like Murdoch or AOL, Time Warner. But in Franklin's case, the columns he wrote, he usually did under pseudonyms or his letters to the editor with wonderful names like Martha Careful or Celia Shortface. He especially liked using women's names as pseudonyms.
He wrote as a woman?
His very first thing when he tried to get published in his brother's newspaper when he was apprenticed to his brother back in Boston, his brother was sort of a tyrannical sort and wouldn't publish him. So he made up the name Silence Do-Good and disguised his handwriting and slipped it under the door. And here was a 15, 16, 17-year-old spunky lad from Boston, never left the city, writing as a widowed woman from the countryside of Massachusetts under the name of Silence Do-Good. Great letters.
And commenting on society.
Very much commenting on society and establishing the American principles just as a 16-year-old boy. For example, Silence Do-Good starts off by saying that she's a grand foe of tyranny and any transgressions of her rights makes her blood boil exceedingly, and she does it in a very funny manner. But she talks about why we're going to be a nation of rebels.
Now, can you describe the news media to me as it existed in Franklin's time?
Very raucous sets of newspapers. I mean, here in Philadelphia, he wanders in. They have 4,000 or 5,000 people there. They already have two newspapers, and yet he wants to start a third. I'd love Philadelphia now to have three newspapers. In order to do it, he first writes for one of the competing newspapers because he wants to put the third newspaper out of business, and he helps do that. But soon other newspapers spring up, and he's got the Pennsylvania Gazette. It was a raucous and partisan press. Some of the other papers attacked him viciously, but he loved it. He thought competition and the more voices you had, the better of a press you'd have and the better of a democracy you'd have.
Would Benjamin Franklin be at home today if he were alive today?
Benjamin Franklin would love it today because we have a society that's based on free speech and free thought, but also based on tolerance. He believed that free speech and free thought really ought to go hand in hand with all forms of tolerance, especially religious tolerance. The one thing he wouldn't like as much is he was not a partisan person. He had some liberal views, some very conservative views, but he felt that you should always try to find common ground and that in your discourse, both in your newspapers and in your public discourse, it was always good to show a little bit of humility, to try to hear the other person's side, and to try to find out where there might be common ground. And I think we're losing that today a bit.
I wonder if he'd be entirely comfortable with the way that the media are structured today. If we set the internet aside for a minute, plenty of people have pointed out that there's a pretty small number of companies that own most of the major media outlets at the moment.
Benjamin Franklin would be quite against the conglomeration that's going on in the media world. I think he felt that the more diverse voices you had, the more choice you had, the more competition you had, the better off everybody would be.
When I read about this time in American history in the 1700s, both before and immediately after the Revolution, even though obviously it was a lot harder to get something printed, a lot harder to get something distributed, I can't avoid the sense that there was more freedom of expression than there is now, that there was a greater diversity of opinion that is allowed in the mainstream media, if you will, than you will get now.
I think you had a much greater diversity of opinion, especially among daily and weekly newspapers in the colonies and in the early republic. That's because you had so many competing newspapers. I do think that he would love the internet because it allows so many new voices to come in, so much freedom for everybody to express opinions, and I'm sure he'd be building websites if he were around today.
You do have to wonder if Benjamin Franklin would be able to get the same things published today that he was able to write then, or if someone would have said, oh, this is too long, it doesn't make any sense, you need to have very short with bullet points or no one can understand it and that sort of thing.
I think Franklin would be able to get published. I mean, you read The Edict from the King of Prussia or The Trial of Polly Baker or The Silence, Do Good Letters or The Busybody. There were great tracts on diplomacy. There were wonderful letters to Adams and Washington and Jefferson. There were the funny parodies and the hoaxes and the satires he used to try to make his political points. Franklin was able to do a wonderful mix in both his newspapers and his writings, and especially in Poor Richard's Almanac. And he even has Poor Richard describe it in one of the prefaces, which is that he has a lot of fun maxims, some hoaxes, some satires, a little bit of sex and a little bit of scandal, but it's all interspersed with good lessons, with values, with important pieces of information. And he said it was to leaven things, that people didn't like just being force-fed the information or the preachings that were important in the papers. It had to be leavened and mixed with things that were more fun. I just think he had a wonderful fingertip feel for the reader and for both the fun but also the enlightenment that can come from good journalism.
Walter Isaacson is the author of Benjamin Franklin, An American Life. He's in the studios of KUVO in Denver, Colorado. Mr. Isaacson, thanks very much for your time.
Gosh, it was really nice to be with you. Thanks.